The reading's taken from John's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. And then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm just going to pray before we begin. Jesus, I pray that you would take my words and make them yours, that you would speak to each person here this evening, and that you would reveal yourself in a new way. Amen. I love this story. At first glance, it appears to be another story about Jesus healing a physical condition miraculously, and indeed it is, and that's powerful in itself. But I believe that through it, God wants to tell us something even more. This blind man was born at a time where he would have been seen as an outcast. He would have been thought to have been afflicted in this way due to his sin, or the sin of his parents. He probably would have been socially isolated, unloved, rejected by the people around him. He wouldn't have been seen as someone to be associated with, and he was left begging on the streets. But Jesus saw something different. The first line of this passage says, "As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth." Jesus saw something very different to the other people around this man. He saw deep into this man's heart, and he saw him as of God, someone in whom the glory of God would be displayed because of his blindness and rejection by society, and because of what Jesus would eventually do in his life. Jesus saw this blind man and wanted to heal and restore him, not just physically, but would likely also bring him social and emotional and spiritual healing. Jesus wasn't afraid to associate with people who were otherwise thought of as outcasts. In fact, throughout his ministry here on earth, he made a point of going against the culture of the time. He healed on the Sabbath. He saw and he talked and he touched and he prayed for people who'd been stigmatized and rejected by others. Throughout the New Testament, there are numerous stories as evidence of this. For example, Jesus could be found eating with tax collectors. Tax collectors were hated and seen as traitors by Jewish society, as they weren't only taking money, but they were also working for the Romans. Jesus came to the rescue of a woman caught in the act of adultery who was about to be stoned. He spoke with a Samaritan woman when it was against Jewish culture for a man to speak with both women in public and with Samaritans. Jesus allowed a woman thought to be unclean, who had been bleeding for 12 years, to touch him, and he healed her. He touched and healed a man with leprosy, a man who others perceived as untouchable and wouldn't go near. Jesus sees everything. He sees your struggles. He sees your illness and disease. He sees your sin, all of your sin. He sees deep within your heart and your mind and your soul, and he knows everything. But Jesus sees you through eyes of love, through eyes of compassion, and through eyes of mercy and of grace. Jesus saw this blind man even before the man was able to see Jesus physically, and Jesus healed him from his blindness before this man was able to see Jesus for who Jesus really was, the Son of God. And if you don't know Jesus right now, be reassured that he loves you and he sees you already. And he will be working in your heart and mind, seeking you out, desperately wanting to be in relationship with you. Some of you may have stories where you know that Jesus saw you before you saw him, that Jesus worked in your life before you knew who he really was, before you gave your life to Jesus. I know this was true in my own life. When I was 19 years old, I'd suffered from an eating disorder and years. I'd been in and out of hospital during my teenage years and had a place at medical school, but I was too unwell to go at that stage. The eating disorder had a grip on me, and I rapidly deteriorated during the months after leaving boarding school. School had become my home and my refuge, and on leaving, I felt I was left with nothing of value and no one, and felt I had little to live on for. My weight dropped to 4.5 stone, which is about a loss of close to half my body weight. But even as this was happening, I didn't believe that I would die. Although I knew of others who had died of this illness, I couldn't acknowledge the truth that I was close to this point. Then one day, I had a sudden sense of knowledge and belief that I was dying, and a desire to live, despite not really knowing what I had to live on for. I had a sudden realization that I needed to get help straight away. And this I now know to be really, really unusual. And it usually takes someone else to insist that a sufferer of anorexia nervosa goes to hospital when they reach this life-threatening stage. I went to the doctor on my own and was admitted into hospital. And I believe that it could have been none other than Jesus there for me, revealing to me the stark truth of my situation. I believe that Jesus opened the doors for me to start a very long journey of recovery, even though I didn't know him then, and wasn't to give my life over to Jesus for another 2 years. And in my wretched condition, he saw me through eyes of love and compassion. And in seeing me, he rescued me. And I love the number 6 blessing that Kate has so powerfully written about in her book, The Promise of Blessing. The blessing was given directly by God to his people. And it tells us that his face will remain turned towards us, that his face will remain shining upon us. Jesus sees you. He sees everyone with love, and he won't turn his face away. When you truly grasp that he sees you through eyes of love and compassion, you'll know your true worth in the eyes of Jesus, and you'll experience profound healing deep within. Jesus wants you to see yourself as he sees you, a precious child of God who is deeply loved. And as with this blind man, and with my story, and maybe your unique story, he sees that through our struggles and our afflictions, he can bring transformation into our lives. We know that the man in this passage was not only healed of physical blindness, but that he soon came to see Jesus for who he really was, the Son of God. Later in the chapter, he goes on to say to Jesus, Lord. And Jesus said in verse 3 that the man had been born blind in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus wants the same for you and for me. He wants us, through all our vulnerability and weakness, to be light shining in the darkness, displaying God's glory in this broken world. I believe that Jesus also wants you and me to look outwards and to see as he sees, and wants to give us vision to see others, not as the world sees them, but as Jesus does. How often do we judge one another based on what we see? Without knowing the whole story, without knowing what someone has been through, how they may be suffering. How often do we judge one another based on their outward appearance, or on what they say or do without really taking the time to listen, to get to know what's going on in their heart and mind. How often do we think we understand the motives of another person for something we think we've seen them do and condemn them for it before we've even bothered to speak to them or seek guidance from Jesus in the situation? We often see what we want to see. Some of you will have heard me speak about our 5-year-old son's fairly disparaging assessment of how the aging process is taking its toll on my looks. But there was a time where the opposite was an occasional problem for me. And several years ago, as a junior doctor, I was working on a hospital ward. And one day, I was asked to take blood from a fairly formidable elderly woman. I was in my late 20s at the time, and this patient refused to believe that I was a doctor. And no way was she going to trust me to stick a needle in her arm. And it would appear that I didn't fit with her view of what a doctor should look like. A nurse was with us, trying to persuade her that I really was a doctor and to let me take blood, but the lady persisted. And while pointing at me, she said to the nurse with a look of very deep concern, "I don't know who Dr. Webb is, but it certainly isn't this young girl here." But the truth is that when we're all subject to preconceived ideas and prejudices, if you know others in this church tonight and you look around now, you and I are likely to see one person or more about whom we've made some form of inaccurate and perhaps negative judgment at some point based on what we see. We may not want to see at all. Seeing the pain and suffering of people right beside us can be really hard. We may feel a vague sense of guilt at our relief that it isn't happening to us. We may not know what to say within ourselves about the potential for our own suffering. We may have to listen, to shed tears, and we may have to care. We may have to do something, and it may cost us time and be costly with our emotions. Perhaps it's sometimes easier just not to see. But if we have a desire to become more like Jesus, we have no choice but to learn to see as he sees. So I'm just going to stop here. If we can get into maybe groups of 2, 3, whatever you prefer, and just think about the question, how can we learn to see through the eyes of Jesus? And we'll just be a couple of minutes, and then if anyone wants to feedback, and then I'll carry on. Okay, if you could just kind of bring your discussions to a close. Feedback, anything from their group? We were talking about. Would anyone like to? Is there anyone who'd like to feedback? And I'll give you the microphone.
We all agree that if we open up to other people, they'll open up to us. Like if we smile at people in the street or we get to know them, some people are just very shy and they don't like to sort of smile and look concerned. But once you speak to them, it kind of breaks the barriers down and you get to know it better. So maybe that's the way to do it, communicate with people more.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, our group thought that... That we should imagine ourselves in other people's shoes, because to us, Jesus is all about compassion. Simple as.
Brilliant, thank you.
Yeah. Also, that we need to listen to them, listen to where they're at. Yeah. They might be hard or whatever, but you know they might have a reason behind it. So it's just a question of letting them talk, or perhaps just listening to where they're at, where they're coming from.
Thank you. Maybe one more if there's anyone, otherwise I'll... No, okay. I'll carry on. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you come up with some brilliant, brilliant stuff. And some of my thoughts are that the only way we can ever see each other through the eyes of Jesus is if we acknowledge that God alone knows the innermost workings of our hearts and the hearts of the people around us, and only he can give us vision to see as he does. We can observe the incredible life of Jesus documented in the Bible. We can observe how he sees, and we can learn from this. And when we ask Jesus into our lives, And then throughout our journey following Jesus, the power of his Holy Spirit dwelling within us will begin and then continue to transform our hearts and our minds and our eyes. And if we allow God, he can soften our hearts and give us the tenderness, the vulnerability and compassion that we need to see not through the eyes of the world, where we may see through a filter of fear, pride, envy, despair, one-upmanship and countless other things, but to see through eyes of love. Last week, I confessed that I was horribly teasing my poor friend, even to the point of taking a photo of the sorry scene, as she, Kate Patterson, had to use a magnifying glass to read when playing a board game because she'd forgotten her reading glasses. But I do, because just 3 days later, I went to the opticians for a routine eye test that I'd booked sometime before, having never needed glasses. And yes, the tables had turned. And the test confirmed that now I'm in my 40s, I myself need reading glasses, as is evidenced by this. But it struck me that whatever is happening in our natural vision, God can still give you and me supernatural vision in more abundance to see others as he does, if we only ask him. We also see that Jesus touched people when others wouldn't. Back in the story of the healing of the blind man, we're told that Jesus spat on the ground, mixed his saliva with mud, and put it in the man's eyes. He then told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, after which the man could see. We know from other healings documented in the New Testament that Jesus could have healed this man at a distance with just a word, but he chose to interact with him close up and to touch him. So often when Jesus healed, he did so through touch as well as words. And so often he touched those who no one else would touch, those who were seen to be unclean and untouchable. At that time, imperfection on a human level was also seen as spiritual imperfection, and many would never have allowed such a person into their homes and certainly wouldn't have touched them. There are still people thought to be untouchable in our world today. Some years ago, I spent 2 months at a Christian hospital in a rural and very poverty-stricken area of India, and we sometimes travelled around the villages carrying out a vaccination programme for children. The caste system, i.e. the social class system, was still very much in play in many of these villages, even though caste-based discrimination and the concept of untouchability had long been abolished in India. The group thought of as untouchable are people seen as even lower than the lowest caste, an excluded group who continue to face high levels of discrimination and they would at times come to the doors of their homes just wanting to see the team from the Christian hospital, as they were some of the only ones outside of their group who would interact with them. And while we may not describe people as untouchable here, there are sure to be people around us who just long not only for the touch of God in their lives, but also for human touch. There are so many in our society who are touch-deprived from childhood onwards, and this is one contributing factor for emotional and mental distress in the lives of many. The healing power of appropriate touch is measurable. If, like me, you're in a hug that lasts at least 10 seconds with someone you love and trust, may boost your emotional and physical health. It increases levels of the feel-good love hormone, oxytocin, and it reduces levels of the stress hormone, cortisol. It reduces our blood pressure and pulse rate and so much more. A hug calms and soothes us and deepens the bond between people. And God created us this way. God sent his son, Jesus, to be with us, fully divine and yet fully human. The Bible says the Word became flesh. He came into our mess to be near us, to touch us both physically and spiritually. Jesus' touch was the touch of God. He touched people to reconcile, to heal, and to bless. And although touch isn't an essential requirement for God to heal, Jesus often laid on hands to heal and asked his followers to do the same, to impart healing in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit. Touch isn't just physical, but appropriate touch can bring emotional and spiritual closeness between people, and it can bring healing to souls. Mother Teresa once said, when we touch the sick and needy, we touch the suffering body of Christ. The story of the healing of the blind man shows us yet again how Jesus lived an extraordinary life. His word suggests that Jesus knew that his time here was short. He would eventually die on the cross to take the punishment for our sin. He knew that he was and is the Son of God and the light of the world, and he lived with urgency to seek and to save the lost. He was prepared to go radically against the culture of the time, to see people who others didn't see. And when he saw, extraordinary things happened. Jesus is alive today and calls us now to live radically for him, to do his work. These questions are ones I've asked myself and I feel challenged by them. Are you prepared to be bold and go against the culture that we live in to bring Jesus to others? Are you living in the truth that the light of Jesus is shining in you and radiating out of you? Are you living with urgency to share the gospel message and with urgency to share the love of Jesus with others, whoever they are and whatever the world may think of them? Jesus sees you. He has his loving eye on you. And he longs to touch you with the touch of God to bring more healing and restoration to you so that you may display even more of the glory of God. He wants you to see yourself as he sees you, a child of God, precious and valued. And in turn, I believe that he wants to give you vision, more vision, to see others as he does. And my prayer tonight is that God blesses us with more vision to see ourselves and to see others as he sees. Let's not miss the abundance of beauty that he has in store for us in this short lifetime. And let's not miss the people who so desperately need us to see them through the eyes of Jesus and through eyes of compassion and love. And we've been called to serve and to love more than to be served and loved. And when we begin to see ourselves as Jesus sees us and others as Jesus sees them, we begin to bring God's blessing into the lives of those around us. It's then that into this broken world we'll bring his healing and the compassion of Jesus. Amen.